This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.
Hi there. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. I'm Peter Gowers. A little under the weather, feeling better than I probably sound. It's great to have your company. Let's get to the heart of news in the Northern Territory right now, to the NT Independent online newspaper, and chat to the editor, Chris Walsh. Walshy, how are you, mate?
Hey, I'm good, Pete. I'm better than you, I think.
I got credited with sounding as though I was two octaves lower at the moment than I normally am. So I thought I might go out and record a few Barry White numbers.
Good call, man. You could do it.
Mate, news is big, as it always is each week, but an interesting one this week with the NT government signing a deal with Tamboran to buy Beetaloo Gas for energy security before the final environmental approvals even given, Chris.
Yeah. Well, that was a bit of a surprise there, was that part. Look, they said that the chief minister would be making an economic announcement, a significant economic announcement, Tuesday morning early out of Channel Island. So we went out there for that. It turns out it was this, that I guess it's an economic announcement, and that, we need
money involved. There's money changing hands.
Yeah, but we don't know how much.
No, see,
that's
of course
the problem,
not.
Is that they wouldn't disclose that. So, we went out there, and this guy from Tamboran was there, Joel Riddle, and they announced to the ASX, I guess, at the same time that the government, the NT government, will now become essentially Tamboran's biggest client here as it relates to their Beetaloo operations, which have still not had final approval. Look, Tamboran itself hasn't even made a final investment decision on moving ahead with this. I think that's going to be a lot easier now that the NT government has signed up.
They pre-sold all their stock, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, look, yeah, so that's... It was kind of strange. And we're saying, well, but, you know, you're making this announcement now. You're not giving us any details about this. But, you know, what about the environmental approvals? And by the time I got to that, Pete, when I asked that question, they said, the generator's too loud here. We can't hear the question. And I'm saying, no, excuse
don't
me.
Don't hold your press conference here.
That's what I didn't understand. It was actually next to this generator. It was so loud. I don't know why they would do that. And so I said, does this compromise the government now? I mean, you still need to give environmental approval to Tamboran's project down there. Does this compromise? We can't hear you. And then Lawler, Warden couldn't hear me. Okay, Warden, the environment ministers. And then Lawler gave some lines that had nothing to do with what I was asking. So I had to later go back and ask them about this and said, you know, what is a compromise? I mean, how do you sign up to be the first customer and then also on the same hand have to decide whether or not they're meeting their environmental approvals beforehand and whether or not it could actually be signed off on. Now, of course, you know, in principle, they've agreed to the the Pepper inquiry that happened and all of their recommendations, but now for individual projects, it still has to be approved, the environmental side of things. And we don't know how the government can actually do that now, considering that they have a vested interest. And then the question then also becomes, you know, in whose interest is this in? Is this, I mean, we need gas because the government has kind of messed up and slowed down on the solar stuff. You know, they're still pledging this to renewables by 2030. Like 100, I can't remember the percent of renewables by 2030. It doesn't look like we're going to get there if we're buying this. And this is a 15-year deal. It looks like it's 9 with a 6.5 you can extend for. But then who does this benefit? Does this benefit Tamboran? Because they still haven't made final investment decision. And then you get back to these issues, and we'll have more on this, Pete. But I just reminded of Natasha Foss's most senior advisor there being a lobbyist. His company was a lobbyist for this very company.
It's the first thing I thought of was like, God, this has come full circle, hasn't it? I mean, it may not have happened in the way that they wanted, but it would appear as though they got what they wanted. Well,
yeah, Tamboran got what it wanted, and it had signed everybody up. It thought it was going to be Files and Richardson, Gerard Richardson, announcing this. Instead, it was Eva Lawler and Kate Warden. But 40 terajoules a day this will provide. Now, Tamarin said that would equate to roughly 60% of all gas consumed in the territory. The government's saying, what a great day. It's a great day to be able to sign a gas supply agreement with Tamarin Resources. Now, of course, the reason they have to do this is ENI. Of course, the failures there at Blacktip, where we don't have enough gas coming in. And, then the other side of that was that we were talking about, I think, last week or the week before, Pete, about that gas pipeline into Queensland being retrofitted to go both ways now, so we can import gas if we need to. So the NT government's in some problems here, and it decided the best way was to invest in Tamarin. What's good for Tamarin is good for the territory, they told us. I don't know about this, but some traditional owners were upset. They called it an under the table handshake. The Environment Center also said that this would lock territorians into expensive and dirty gas for decades. The NT government's shoddy gas reliant energy system is entirely a product of its own making. Kirsty Howie, the executive director of the Environment Center NT, said, including a famously disaster deal with ENI to supply gas, which has utterly failed to deliver. GetUp has, they put out a statement saying this was a slap in the face to traditional owners who oppose fracking. They said, by committing to buying fracked gas before they've given Tamarin an environmental approval, the NT government has proven they cannot be trusted to protect water. They called on the federal environment minister, Tanya Plibersek, to get involved, saying that there is now a new national water trigger powers that could be implemented in this case, and they have asked her to do that. Traditional owners too. A guy who appeared at the inquiry there a couple weeks ago, Samuel Sandy, they put out a statement saying the traditional owners are fed up with the big lies told about the jobs and economic benefits of gas. The government has done a handshake with Tamarin under the table, out of sight and out of mind. Tamarin should pack its bags and go home.
They can do the opposite though now, aren't they?
Well, looks like they're going to be here, and this is a big deal for them, and this gets them kind of moving. And he as much said that, Joel Riddle, is this is good investment coming in. It will bring in other investment now that the government signed up. So that's where we're at.
Well, I've got a new slogan for Territory Labor as they roll into the election in August, and it's going to simply, on the red shirts, I can just picture it, Territory Labor on the front, being compromised is how we do business.
And then a little Tamarin logo on the sleeve.
Sponsored by.
And that sleeve and who else on the other. Anyway, Pete, look, we're going to get into this more on the weekend. We're going to have a lot more up, including CDU's involvement. Paul Henderson, I want to talk about his involvement in all of this, because I did ask Joel Riddle about his dealings with Henderson, which was kind of interesting too. So talk about that on the weekend.
Sounds good. And what's going on with these fireys, Chris? Silence from them this week.
Well, the executive anyway. Yeah. Don't want to talk about this. Apparently, I know we got to keep it quick here, but do you remember, Pete, when we did this story a while back and we talked about it, when Jamie Chalker showed up at a fire recruits meeting and said some stuff to them about how firefighters are greedy?
Right.
I'm going to look into overtime. Yeah, overtime's a privilege, not a right. And then he said, and I'm going after this guy, this union guy, because he's made me angry. And we thought, oh, okay, whatever. And then they wouldn't release that. And they said, no, there was no sound on that when we recorded him giving that speech. And then I FOI'd it. Turned out there was sound on there. And he said all kinds of silly things. Anyway, we've got this now that's come out that he did, in fact, Chalker, order this audit into overtime, but also an investigation, an internal integrity unit investigation into the overtime system and this external audit that they had BDO come in and do. The agency, of course, Fire and Emergency Services, saying that it was commissioned due to fraud concerns. But the union representing firees says it was only ordered to retaliate against that member who had raised overtime concerns. And they're saying it's the same guy that Chalker brought up in that meeting that day. So, United Workers Union calling now on the fire service executive to apologize to members for conducting the audit and investigation, which they say was a huge waste of taxpayer money. and that has resulted in a report that the agency has since binned and confirmed they would not be pursuing. So this one now, Woody's done a good job on this one here. He's seen some documents that were internal, I guess, that show that the union was told in 2022 during protracted, hostile enterprise bargaining negotiations. You remember those things when they were going on? Yeah. That really was quite heated at times for the firees. That the audit into overtime payments was ordered after a firefighter went to the Office of Commissioner for Public Employment with an undisclosed concern relating to overtime. It occurred a few weeks that they ordered this before former Fire and Rescue Services Chief Executive Jamie Chalker allegedly told the firefighting recruits that he would go after the senior fire officer. The audit also was conducted by BDO Australia. That was ordered after the chief fire officer, Mark Spain, called police on his own firefighters for what was later established was a legally protected industrial action that saw employees write slogans on fire trucks using non-permanent markers. If you remember that whole ordeal, and things were bad, and Spain was, I've called the cops on them, I'll do it again. I don't care.
Every day of the week.
Yeah, look, this whole thing is kind of messy, and, you know, we'll kind of break it down a bit more on the weekend here because there is some other interesting stuff here, including that the minister didn't know about it, and the new minister said it told the union, we're not pursuing it, we're binning both the investigation and the audit, and then said he had never seen it either. So how do you bin something you've never seen, right? Why didn't he make a call on that if there was fraud? Yeah, if there actually was fraud going on, and if there wasn't, then I think they've got some questions to answer for there. But yeah, it's a strange one.
It is. We know they love to bin things when it's no longer suitable to have it hanging around.
Back in the Gunner days,
That's it. And finally, Chris Chanston Paik III in the press this week, coming under fire for his plan to build new prisons.
Well, yeah, look, Pete, this is all the kind of backflip here where, you know, jailing is failing has been replaced with we need more jails now. So just about everything that he had said over the past 8 years, again, has been thrown in the bin.
Yeah.
And now they're doing this because you remember, we had a photo there of him wearing a T-shirt that said jailing is failing. This is the guy who said it doesn't work. And we spoke about that a bit last week. But they did announce on Monday here that they, or was it Friday? I think it was Friday, that that they were moving ahead with and it always gets confusing for people, I know, but the old Barama prison, once that is now the Don Dale, once that's the young offenders in there, once they're taken to the new Holtz facility for youth detention, they will open it up for women and men. There will be men in there temporarily, they said. And then in Alice Springs, they have a rehab center there that they're going to convert into a prison. Right. So this is going to cost $57 million. And I think a lot of people are like, wow, okay, that's a lot of money.
Critics
coming out the next day saying it's an expensive step in the wrong direction. And they're arguing that the money could be put to better use in the broken NT justice system. Critics say the move to establish new prisons is anything but common sense. As Chancey said, this is just common sense, he said when he came out here. Also, he did it, by the way, in Alice, and I wasn't sure if they had made the announcement. Like, we read it in the NT News Friday first. I'm like, what? Why would they give this just to the NT News? Oh, he didn't even go out to a press conference. Because if I was there, I would have said to him, how do you do this after for 8 years saying that jailing's not the answer, jailing's failing, whatever? How do you then just open prisons and say, well, we've got to put more people in prison, more young, more women, more men, whoever? And he wasn't asked that, but it turned out he did do a press conference in Alice. So, there was a justice reform initiative. It's called Executive Director Mindy Satiri. She told the National Indigenous Times, the Attorney General calls this, the new prisons, a common sense approach, but there is no sense in spending millions of dollars to prop up broken infrastructure and a failed system. We know prisons don't work. All the evidence shows us that locking people up does not make safer communities. It does the opposite and makes future offending more likely. It's exactly what the Attorney General for the Northern Territory, Chancey Paik, said in Parliament on many occasions.
Yeah, that's
but it. But now, all of a sudden, 4 months out from the election, it's time to build bigger jails and find more space.
It seems quite cynical, doesn't it, Chris, given what...
Yeah, look, yeah. Yeah, look, we'll kind of get into more of that, I think, on the weekend, too. But there was, Naja, too, one of the founders and former chair, come out to say that, look, more services are needed rather than prisons, and they're just not doing that. This was Natalie Hunter. She said, when are they going to listen to our Black voices instead of blocking them out? It has been decades of neglect, of not properly implementing recommendations from report after report. Yeah, it remains incomprehensible that that facility remains open today. Naja had said right before. So, there's some issues here. And they're saying basically, too, that to repurpose health facilities to squeeze in more prison beds highlights the lack of any long-term vision or strategy to tackle deep-rooted issues around justice and safety in the NT. That's Dr. Satiri saying that. Territorians deserve smart policies based on evidence, not ad hoc announcements to patch a broken system. That is what seems to have been happening over the past 8 years here.
Correct, in particular in the last few months when it's been in their best interest to look like they're doing something pre-election.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chris, just lastly, any word on how his shares are traveling at this stage?
On Chancey's shares?
Yeah.
he got rid of them, we think.
Oh, he's did
he? He's on his register.
I thought you should list the share price daily.
We would if he's still. He'd actually be in violation of the Ministerial Code of Conduct, although I know every minister there appears to have violated it at one point or another.
And but buying them was fine, but selling them.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. All right, Chris, I'll catch you on weekends with Walshy.
Great. Thanks, Pete. We'll see you then.
That was Chris Walsh from the NT Independent. Weekends of Walshy back again on the weekend. That will be released around 7 a.m. Saturday morning. In the meantime, you have a great Anzac Day and we'll catch you on the weekend.
That was the Territory Story News Bites for this week. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.